Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and this particular episode is Cues of the Force, Qualms of the Force. No, I have no qualms about Questions of the Force, and also A's of the Force. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok. I have no qualms with your lack of qualms, so let's get to the A's.
We are very excited to take some great questions, as always, but we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, it's special because it could be ending soon. We are still recommending Padawan by Kirsten White. We are on the very precipice of finally reading it and discussing it ourselves. If you want to download your free audiobook today and catch up with us, you can go to audibletrial.com/forcecenter. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/forcecenter for a free audiobook. Ken, any audiobook thoughts?
I wish I, number one, enjoyed them more, but you all should enjoy them more. I can't wait to finish Padawan. We're not choosing Padawan over and over again at the cost of the Great High Republic books out there. So I guess maybe that's the thing with audiobooks that I'm missing out on. You could listen to three at once, like breakfast, lunch, dinner.
In stereo. Just get as much content as possible. Well, we're looking forward to that and all the new High Republic books, which are piling up. We can't wait to dive in and discuss. But for now, we are going to dive into your cues. We've got two from Twitter, two from our patrons on Patreon, as always. And we're going first to Twitter, and to Michael Gibbons. Michael says, "Hi, everyone. What do you think clones were used for before episode 2? Dex knew of cloning and that Kamino made good ones, but I don't know if you have any other context. I can imagine workforce, but we have droids, maybe some creepy eternal family legacy for the super rich. This is great. We have talked about this, but it was so very, very long ago that I'm really excited to dive in, because this has always been one of my favorite Star Wars tip of the iceberg questions, when Dex says, cloners, damn good ones too, which implies that they are the cream of the crop. There's a bunch, there's inferior cloners out there, which is frightening to think of. So, Ken, where does your mind go with the other uses of clones besides starting a galactic civil war?
Yeah, besides that, Michael with a big swing here. I love his answer about, hey, someone's like, you know, we have a dynasty we want to preserve. Let's clone ourselves and just do different generations of it. That's pretty cool, pretty sci-fi. I can get behind that idea. I would say this, workforce was definitely my first thought. Just makes a lot of sense, and kind of those who might use it could be a little bit of a moral gray area of why they're doing it. Which might mean, you know, would Kamino have a problem with that? Would the Kaminoans have a problem with that? Or would they just kind of take the highest bidder, highest contract? I don't know. We can get into their morality. Workforce definitely is where I go. But on a smaller scale, actually, I don't know if it would be smaller scale, but like armies are defense forces for richer families. Talking about, creepy eternal legacy, but for the super rich. But maybe, you know, you have... some count of some lost, you know, civilization in Star Wars, and they had clones to be their loyal defense force, something like that. I know the clones might the clones as we know might be the first big fighting force on that scale for sure, but a smaller, a family, or maybe even a smaller yet affluent planet, kind of don't want to draft an army, don't want to build an army out of recruits. Let's go to the clones.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with a lot of the uses, and I agree with what's new and different about the clone troopers is, I think, the scale and the advancement in technology, right? Like, it's not just something that everybody knows how to do. It's not like, Kamino bought up extra 3D people printers. You know, it's their technology, their know-how, right? That's why we got the great storytelling in Bad Batch about the Empire going, like, we're going to take your technology and your knowledge, right? Because the army that we're seeing in Attack of the Clones is new in terms of scale and in terms of just the quality of the clones, right? So I think the way I think of like Attack of the Clones, like, yeah, the technology of cloning exists, but this is on another level. It's like saying, hey, you know, we can make, you know, stealth helicopters. That technology exists, but somebody discovers how to make them en masse, you know, and perfect quality and all these things. So that's why I think it's a little bit like, why haven't we heard of 1,000 other clone armies, you know, the same as this one? I believe I was looking it up on Wikipedia, because we talked about this years and years ago, and I believe there was a mention or two in publishing about, you know, small security forces, that kind of thing, that cloning had been used before. For that, I think it might have been mentioned in Master and Apprentice. And I don't remember.
Right.
It was like a little side discussion. I remember being excited about it and discussing it at the time, because it kind of got into this. I think workforces, maybe even for specific jobs, workforces for specific environments, right? If you want something built underground, you've got some bargain basement cloners, and you're like, can you make me, I need like 27 Quarren. Can you make me that? Because I'm building something underwater. I love the idea of a defense force or a small scale army. I think that's a thing that, again, the publishing side has been really great at. Andor's doing a really good job at reminding us there are billions of planets and they all have, you know, communities and conflicts and, you know, minor, I'm sure, civil wars on the planet or within the system, and, you know, small scale armies for that kind of thing. I think the continuing family royalty, that would be a really fun thing to see, right? Because even in the real world, we have this sort of like, sometimes there got to be some of the old inbreeding. And what's the ultimate inbreeding of like, I am going to clone myself. I wanted to, no age, you know, advancement. I'm going to raise myself. And when I die, the new me will still rule this planet
Look, the movie Multiplicity taught us that there's some dangers in that.
Exactly. And then the other one we've talked about, I think in the past is like, there's no reason it, maybe one of the things that's so advanced about it is sheer volume of skill of the clones, but maybe there were a lot of cloning of like beasts of burden, you know?
Yes.
That didn't have the same level of sentience. And maybe even beloved pets.
Well, yeah, that's always a weird one too. There's even that in the, that dance in our world. I love a clone army of Dubaks. Heavy lifting.
Yeah, it is one of those great tip of the iceberg Star Wars storytelling that I expect it to pop up in High Republic. Of meeting some different earlier clones or a great opportunity for some storytelling in different eras, I think.
No, I'm right there with you on that. And Attack of the Clones being such a sci-fi B-movie style, right? I mean, it's one of the things I know you've celebrated for years. And even down to Dexter and his diner and coming from that era and the comfort nostalgia of that. I think it's perfect for that film. That line has always been intriguing and tantalizing. So you could approach it from a comedy aspect. You got the chief of bottom barrel clones. They aren't quite there, aren't quite working. And the fact that those in Kamino have risen to the top, the cream of the crop of the cloners. We always make references a lot. Lately, it seems like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but you go to planet Magrathea and they're, building planets. But it's going to cost you. And not everyone could afford it. The market burst on it. So I'm fascinated with it. And it's not something that I want to show up all the time in Star Wars, but a little sprinkle of here and there. And you're right, High Republic. And Old Republic, but High Republic is a perfect place for something like that to exist.
Yeah. And the name check in Force Awakens is great of like, maybe we should have gone with the clone army, like to suggest it's out there. It's a possibility. But yeah, I would love a comedy story as well of like old Hondo shows up trying to sell people on his clone-o-matic machine. Like that's looking sketchy, Hondo.
Yeah. Yeah, so you just did Dengar pursue that before giving up? And it's like, no, that's not me. I want to stick around. Rothgar Dang is me. Like, yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah. Great clone thoughts, Michael. Thank you so much for sharing. We're going to move on to our next question from Tony Poirier. Tony says, so we're seeing the price early rebel leaders paid to establish the rebellion. What do you think some of their responses would be to find out all those sacrifices, blood, sweat, and tears would all fall again in a mere 30 years? This is a great question to really put it in the eyes, the minds, the souls of Andor, Luthen, Mothma, all these people, Nemec. If they kind of were able to see the trajectory of the galaxy, that this great victory is won against the Empire, but then this new form of tyranny, a new but similar form of tyranny in the First Order rises 30 years later. Where do you go with this question, Ken?
In a weird way, I think they'd understand, meaning that that's why they fought, and that's what they get the reasons behind it. And I think they'd watch the sequel trilogy and be like, oh, I get the theme that evil returns. If you're not, it's always there to return. If you're not careful. It's a repeating process and you can't completely eradicate people's thoughts and desires and lust for power. That's always going to be there. You must remain vigilant. I think they've been disappointed. Yes, they'd be disappointed with the First Order, but they might look at some of the things going on in the New Republic, some of the stuff Leia was facing, and understand her plight and realize that this is how it happens. And I think if they are around or who knows who is around or if they were around, Nemec, I think they'd join back up. They'd be right there with Leia and never question why, be coming out of retirement, much like a lot of the heroes that joined Leia from the past war. So I think it'd be disappointing. They'd be like, no, damn it, man. We fought so hard, but they wouldn't be surprised that the fight has to continue.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I wrote down like a bunch of emotions and I realized I was almost like writing down, you know, the steps of grief.
Not exactly,
but I think it's emotionally complicated. But I think the ultimate answer for me is, you know, the end result is kind of pride on how the galaxy ultimately responded to the First Order, right? I know this can be, you know, a divisive or a hard question for Star Wars fans, especially when if you just watch Return of the Jedi, it's just a little bit of a storybook ending. There's that sense of Luke being a little bit of bittersweet that he just met his father, but now his father's gone. But it can be a fairy tale ending and they lived happily ever after. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the sequel trilogy makes it a little bit more real. It makes it a little bit more what Lucas has always said of, you know, evil is generational. So I do understand when sometimes people are like, oh man, they fought for all this and then they lost it. But I think when we were talking about this before, I kind of thought about it as like, if somebody pulled you out of the way of a speeding car and you lived happily for 30 years and then you almost got hit by a car again, you wouldn't be, man, that first person wasted their time pulling me out of the way of the car. Got 30 years of peace. That in and of itself is a victory, right?
Yeah. 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 And there's still cars, you know,
and they're always going to be, and you gotta be mindful. Yeah. So I think for the pride, you know, there's they won the galaxy relative peace for 30 years. Yeah. And then when it resurged, look how quickly the people rose up. Look at everything that, a Luthen, a Mothma, a Vel, and Andor, went through to get the galaxy to wake up, to find a way to fight back. Saw Jin. The Empire had a stranglehold for 19 years and the First Order fell in like, what, a year and a half, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's even kind of, there's a lot of things in Rise of Skywalker that I think are really tip of the iceberg storytelling. If you really engage with it and go, okay, that sounds really straightforward, but what does it mean? I think there is a lot of depth in Rise of Skywalker, and one of the many lines there is, you know, Poe and Finn's inspirational speech as we watch the Resistance get ready to go to Exegol, and I believe it's, you know, Poe saying, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, what our mothers and fathers fought for, we won't let die, you know? Mm-hmm. You can still feel Nemec's manifesto in what Poe is saying in that moment. It's we stumbled, we dropped our guard and this evil is trying to rise up again and we are not going to let it take hold.
Yeah. There's something powerful in it. This is looking at it kind of like in story more than outside of story. Yeah. There's some BTS ways to discuss it and you're right. Maybe people don't engage with the sequel trilogy simply because that beat seems repeated or it takes away from the victory in six. I get those conversations. We can certainly have them around these parts. There's always going to be what ifs that I like and should haves that I like. But what we got, I think, was pretty powerful and in story. There's the number one, the fight goes on. If we get to a 10, 11, and 12, evil's still going to exist in the galaxy. I believe that based just on what I'm talking about. But in story, that there would be a way, like, let's just save you know, the spirit of Luthen, or, you know, Luthen survives 120. I don't know. And he's sitting there and he's just kind of almost, it'd almost be like, yes, the battle continued. It never really stopped. And this is a more complete victory. That's the way I look at the end there in Rise of Skywalker. There's more of us, Poe. That whole inspirational moment is truly of the galaxy. And I think because the galaxy was not in the position, talking about the people of the galaxy, the beings of the galaxy weren't in a position to fight as much in a civil war that had to become this military action. We always talk about that. Radis coming out of hyperspace means a lot to me because of that. They were fighting for those that couldn't fight. And they made that big change, but that the fight had to become of the hearts of the people, had to become the actions, it had to become the citizen fleet. So maybe they're Nemec or Luthen or those types to be like, yeah, this is the continuation of the journey, the story, and this is what needed to happen despite 30 years of so-called peace, because it wasn't necessary. It was peaceful, but it wasn't necessarily peaceful for everyone. We're seeing some of the stuff in Mando storylines, everything like that. Mm-hmm. The unknown regions was going on. So now this is a more honest victory, a more complete victory.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I think it's fun to, I ultimately come down to like, yeah, at the end of the day, pride, but I can also see like, yeah, there's frustration, maybe guilt from somebody like Mon Mothma questioning could could have built the New Republic differently, you know? Mm-hmm. So this didn't happen. One of the Mothma details that I love that I really want to revisit is it's in the Bloodline novel. And I believe it's Leia kind of reflecting that, you know, Mothma tried to build the New Republic with everybody with as much sort of consensus as mm-hmm. possible. And out of her present, her presence, her personality, her expertise, that structure of government held together because of her. But when she retired, all of these splinters and resentment grew, you know?
Yeah.
So I can see somebody like Mothma going like, is there any way, raking themselves over their coals, right? Of like, is there any way I could have structured it, you know, better to make it a legacy organization that survived without me? I can see somebody like Luthen being angry at the new generation, right? Because there's going to be younger people who didn't fully live through the horror of the Empire. They were young and they didn't get it, right?
Yep.
How could you not, how can you be collecting helmets, you know, like the character in Bloodline as well? How can you not understand what we fought for? You know, I think there's, you know, in various ways, some of that in the real world with various, you know, battles reemerging that some people remember better than others. people live through more, and like, how can you not be more upset about what's happening? I think that, a lot of different emotions. Do you have any thoughts on those emotions?
No, it's almost like Luthen would be posting memes that say, you know, keep punching Imperials. And he'd have a picture of Indiana Jones. You know? Keep punching Imperials. You keep punching them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But I think at the end of the day, I agree with the sort of the pride and even like the acceptance, right? Of like, this is the nature of the galaxy. The dark side exists, the, you know, pain and anger and the temptation to be selfish and use fear to get what you want and give yourself power. Mm. That's always going to be there. So the forever question is how to get peace, but then how to keep it? How do you hold the evil back without giving into paranoia, fear, losing your soul yourself? That's the forever question.
Mm-hmm. And it's just so easy to forget, like you were touching upon there, and that could be part of the lessons going forward. I would love to see Luthen survive, just show up 5 years after, maybe 7 years after Mando season 3, just yell at, "We fought for it! Come on!"
That would be amazing if Disney Plus did optional Luthen commentary on every Star Wars film. Oh, not your problem, huh? It's not your problem. You're not in it for his revolution, huh? All right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely great. Look for the Luthen commentaries coming soon to Disney Plus. Any other thoughts before we take a quick break?
No, great question. Great question. It's about the story, but it's also about these movies, the stories, the trilogies that go on. And we got to find ways to get the storytelling to continue. And I think they found a great theme to drive it forward.
Exactly. All right. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be back with our questions from patrons on Patreon back in a moment.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And we are back with more Cues of the Force. Two cues from patrons on Patreon. The first one comes to us from Justin Jacobson. Justin says, "Hello, Ken and Joseph. I want to thank you for all your insights on Bor Gullet and his fellow Marians. After enjoying the first few episodes of Andor, I became fascinated by more of the fine fauna from the galaxy far, far away. This time, an evil-looking four-horned black goat at the rebel camp on Aldani. I nicknamed him Darth Philip after an evil black goat in the horror movie The Witch, and I found myself wanting more Darth Philip appearances across Star Wars. Whether he is seducing hapless herders to the dark side like his namesake in The Witch, or helping out in the final battle like the Rancor in Book of Boba Fett. Have any critters or creatures in Star Wars captured your imagination in this way? What would you like to see them do in future appearances?" I really like this question. I like that movie The Witch, but I particularly like the goat, and I love how much other people like the goat. Good old Black Philip. Ken, you're not a big fan of horror films. Have you watched The Witch to see this goat?
No, I'm not. I'm even more terrified. I love goats. I love going to a petting zoo. You take me to a petting zoo, I turn into a five-year-old. I love the goats. So think of an evil goat, it scares me even more. Just the the horror. But yeah, no.
That goat looking at you with those knowing eyes. Mm-hmm. Yep. I was terrified of goats as a kid because we visited my aunt, kind of lived in a rural area on a farm, and I don't know if the window was open or broken, but they were at the kitchen table eating, and a goat's head just came into the kitchen. It scared the hell out of me.
I just love the early days of not the internet, but the early days of like social media, whether it be Friendster or MySpace or early YouTube stuff. I pretty much just used them to watch videos of goats. I'm crying laughing at the different goat noises and the word like hey, like I gets me every time. So I'll brave the witch and just watch the Black Philip scenes or Dark Philip scenes.
Yeah, just watch the best of Philip.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We'll look for that goat hive content coming from Force Center soon. So to get back to Justin's actual question, what animals or creatures are capturing your imagination? Which are you wanting to see in larger Star Wars stories?
So far, there's so many. There's so many. This is one of those there's so many I couldn't think of any, but I came up with three answers here. The Porg for the Millennium Falcon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Screaming. We always, you and I think it represents the powerful thing of all creatures in on the fight here, right? There's a big purpose to it. So I want that Porg to go on to have a distinct career in the New Republic. And, you know, he doesn't talk. He's not a talking Porg, none of that. But just he flew back from Crate. He's just survived the whole time. Then the war out in Exegol happens. But by the way, I'm bummed he didn't show up there. And then he goes, he's in the Mothman Leia's New Republic, and he's in the offices, and everyone knows that you don't shoo him away. That Porg is part of the fight, and he just goes on hanging around, being on the shoulders of leaders. So I'll start.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And slightly, maybe more real in the Star Wars story. I would love to see, post Rise, I guess it would be post-Rise. Love to have Rose Tico take a trip to Cantonica and maybe go for a hike outside of Canto Bight. Now, she is not a fan of Canto Bight. I understand that. But I think maybe times have changed a little bit post the War of Exegol. Maybe she just goes back to take in the other aspects of Cantonica. And then she runs into the Father Eyre that she helped escape. And she sees him in Ulm and they recognize her. And they kind of go on to, you hear those stories of I had a baby lion cub and I released it into the wilderness and then it recognized me 30 years later. I would love that kind of sweet moment when that particular group of Father Eyres runs into Rose.
Oh, yeah. No, I think, yeah, this large, happy village of Father Eyres that met and mated in honor of Rose Tico. Beautiful. Love it.
My final one is for the horror fans out there. We'll go to Maldo Cress and those ice spiders. What if a pregnant ice spider gets off planet on a ship and it's like on a capital ship and then it gives birth to all the little baby spiders and they keep spawning. They just self-spawn and then they take over a ship like a Star Wars horror film.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And somebody has to, like, collect them and just bring them all to Hoth.
Yeah.
This is where you need to be. Yeah, fight it out with the Wampas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I've got I don't know how many pack, a 4-pack of Mando, Grogu, and the Maldo Kreis ice spiders I got to open up here soon. Looking forward to it. Yeah. So great. It's an overwhelming question because there's so many great and charming creatures. I did go to the Porgs. Mm-hmm. I know that there is that kind of a bridging story of how Chewie and Rey ended up on a Black Spire outpost with Hondo and everything that's set up there. There's I don't even know what grade level it is. Middle age, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Not adult, but blooming. I don't know. That's awful. Whatever it is. I haven't read that book, and I think that kind of handles the Porg infestation, but I don't care. I would like to see in live action or animated, I would like to see just a couple Porgs end up on a planet because of the events of Last Jedi, and they just infest massively. Mm. Massive infestation. I want to see massive Porg infestations across the galaxy.
I'd love that. And yeah, what havoc does it wreak? You know?
Yeah.
What joy does it bring? You just
say. Yep. Yep. There's definitely some ecosystem issues with the Porgs. That would be very, very fun. Yeah. A weird one is that we, of course, know our beloved Kwakian monkey lizard, Salacious B. Crumb. We're going to see a tree full of Kwakian monkey lizards. That one episode of the animated show Star Wars Resistance introduced the Kwakian ape lizard.
Right.
just like Salacious B. Crumb got some gamma radiation and turned into the Hulk.
Like Animal at the end of the first Muppet movie.
Yes. So I'd like to see the Kwakian ape lizard smash through some things. Last two, the Vractyl. The Vractyl, Boga by name in Revenge of the Sith. I've always loved the weird noises. I've loved the weird. It's a kind of a dinosaur lizard, but it's got feathers. The amazing call, the bond with Obi-Wan. I know some people of our generation who did not like the prequels don't like the Vractyl, but I love them. And I would like to see them in the Old Republic setting. I would like to see 1,000 Jedi riding 1,000 Vractyl into battle against 1,000 Sith.
Sign me up. You got go picture, kid. That's amazing. No, and I'm one of those ones that probably didn't like Boga as much as I should have in 2002. But your joy for Boga and the Vractyls overall has definitely bled over to me. And I just love it. Thematically, it works on a lot of levels. But even I think I was one of the ones of the whistle. I don't know, it was a cowboy picture and everything. And I got hung up on that. But that creature has won me over the years.
Yeah. Yeah. Just that call is so powerful and haunting. And yeah. Love Boga. My final one is, I think, maybe making a comeback. I believe we maybe saw a flash in a trailer. But I want the return of the Zillow Beast.
Right.
Ooh. Yeah. the Zillow Beast episodes in the Clone Wars are two of my favorites. They're really playing with the whole history of kaiju filmmaking. I recently watched the original Godzilla movie, the actual, you know, made in Japan by Japanese artists wrestling with Japanese issues of the time, you know, in that kind of ground zero of a kaiju story. And the Zillow Beast is so tied to that. And I know we kind of left it off of, Palpatine's experimenting with it, right? I don't know if this fits into the timeline, but the thing that jumped into my mind is like, I don't think it's entirely resolved in Star Wars storytelling of when the last holds of Imperials on Coruscant were chased out after, Jakku. I would love it if, the Zillow Beast escaped and finished off the last remnants of the Empire on Coruscant.
I got revenge.
Exploding from the bowels of the Coruscant to rip the Imperials down.
Yeah, the Zillow Beast stuff. That was one too on re-examination. Really opened up my eyes to the powerful story told in those episodes. Love, that's a great answer. And yeah, looking at maybe the Bad Batch, right? Yeah, be cool.
Yeah, I think we saw an eye that seemed Zillow Beast-esque in the trailer, if memory serves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm very excited. Maybe we'll see the Zillow Beast burst forth from its containment in Coruscant. I really hope so.
Love that.
All right. We are down then to our final question. It is coming to us from Anakin Crespin. Hello, Anakin. Anakin's got a great start, a classic start to his question. Dewanawanga Force Center. I do want a Wanga. Thank you for asking. Anakin continues. My question today is simple, but none of us may really know the answer due to the limited amount of Luke Skywalker content post Return of the Jedi. Who do you think would win in a lightsaber duel, Revenge of the Sith era Grandmaster Yoda or Jedi Master Luke Skywalker in his prime? I'm talking Shadow of the Sith, Rise of Kylo Ren, and even The Last Jedi. Feel free to factor in Force abilities as well, as we all know that in lightsaber duels, the Force is used more often than not for both attack and defense. Thanks, and may the Force be with you. Ken, we have not answered a straightforward who'd win in a fight question in a while. So where do you go with this one?
I start here and I'm going to need your help on this. Why are they fighting? The why of this is tormenting my soul. Why is it just a sparring match? It doesn't seem like this question's proposing a sparring match. It seems like it's a real fight. So my heart breaks that they'd be fighting, but where do you start in that regard?
Yeah, no, I think if I think about them actually fighting, well, they've both lost already.
Yeah.
They've lost by fighting at all. Neither of them wins. Yeah. If we're talking about, an actual fight, something's gone wrong,
Yeah.
And I do think in some ways that, all of my answers are about where are they at? What is going on with them?
Yes.
If there's a reason that they're fighting, that's going to affect their relationship with the Force, their relationship with one another. I think for me, I have the headcanon, for example, that Obi-Wan is a competent fighter, and he can often beat very powerful Vader because he gets him, right? But yeah. Dooku gets in Obi-Wan's head, and Obi-Wan just flounders when he tries to go up against Dooku, that's just kind of an example of, I think, the dynamics that come into a fight that aren't about power, right? So that's I think that's where a lot of my thoughts are going to come from, of where are they at, if yep. It's a big fight, or if just sparring, if they're just sparring at their height, it's still about where they're at.
True.
What do you think?
Yeah. And because skill wise, sticking to the eras, I think, especially what we've read in Shadow of the Sith and a lot of stuff, Rise of Kylo Ren, Luke is ready to go. He's got the skills. He might be the most powerful in the land. Well, there's not a lot of Jedi around there to compare him, but overall, I think he'd rank high. I think he'd put him there. But Revenge of the Sith era, Yoda, we've seen that. We've got a lot of Force powers going. We got. It's almost a push. I don't mean Force push, but it's almost a push. Mm-hmm. I think we both have super skills. So I did go to where you went. My answer was almost with no hesitation going to be Luke Skywalker from that era. Just seemed like if you rank in powers, you rank in X buttons you can press on a controller, he's got more of them, right? But then I thought about, well, the time we saw them together, it's a little later in Luke's life, and Yoda was a Force ghost, but Yoda had the advantage over him, not physically, just kind of where his mind was at. So I think your point is very valid where they are. and how there's Luke being wowed by a tree catching on fire and the riddle of the books and what Rey has. So I think Yoda would be able to get into that. But then on the flip side, to counter my own argument, this Revenge of the Sith era Yoda is just about to learn the powerful lesson of failure. It's just about to understand that it might have been his hubris or even the Jedi's hubris that led him to this point. He just came off that big lesson that we saw in the Clone Wars where he faced down his own hubris and his own fears and his own powers and problems. And he has a little opening, a little hole in that armor there that Luke might be able to get at and use Yoda's, not cockiness, not arrogance, but just that inherent Jedi hubris that was run around during that time and use it against him. So I'm putting all my information in the deck, but I'd still say, I still say Luke just on powers.
Yeah. So I think for me, I totally agree with you with all of the emotional sense, mm-hmm. You know, I think, for Luke's mindset, if he's balanced and ready in a sparring session, I think they are evenly matched, not just on power, maybe even Luke has, you know, risen to such a level, such understanding that he's maybe a little bit more powerful. Well, Yoda's got other advantages, right? You know, his height is different. Yoda probably has knowledge, right? I almost think this would be a knowledge battle. Luke has spent so many years going around trying to learn everything about the Jedi, every obscure fact, every bit of history, every obscure technique and power, right? So I think the things that Yoda would normally pull out of, like, I lived through this fighting technique that maybe you haven't heard of, you know, I have this specific, you know, fighting style that combines literal, you know, force powers, when exactly to use that little burst of force speed that tires you. So all these kind of things. And I think Luke has studied so hard and wants to be so perfect. I think Yoda would be shocked to find out, like, the things that Yoda's lived through and knew of experience, Luke's researched. He's done his homework. he's found every ancient YouTube how-to video about every force ability, and he knows it back and forth. So I think if it was like a battle of just like knowledge, I think they might be evenly matched.
Right.
But if Luke is at all in the place that we do see him in toward in The Last Jedi, or even in Shadow of the Sith, where he's a little, he's very powerful, but he's a little, you know, not sure about if there's some things coming up that he doesn't understand, right? When he kind of half force projects to Exegol and doesn't know what's going on, and, you know, his father helps out. Spoilers for the book, sorry. Mm-hmm. If Luke's got even the tiniest crack of doubt or fear, he's done.
Yes.
He's done. Yoda's got him, because Yoda will be able to perceive that.
And you're right. He's feeling that kind of stuff in Shadow of the Sith. It's creeping.
He is. Yeah. And if it is some weird world between worlds and Yoda steps off of his battle with Sidious, shaken about his own role and how do we fight this fight when fighting Sidious only makes him more powerful, and then Yoda's off balance and Luke's got him. I think it really is about, it's about raw power, but it is also about knowledge. And more than anything, this is always a fight where you're fighting yourself, right?
Yes.
Is Luke or Yoda going to master their fears better?
Mm-hmm. And over, if that's the question, over the course of history, perhaps Yoda does more. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if I were on the sidelines and watching this fight, I would simply yell out to Luke Skywalker, use the Force and watch your ankles. Would you shout out any advice?
I would say stop fighting. For the love of God, both of you stop fighting.
Yours is the correct answer. That's great. I can imagine a bunch of other fans like really excited to watch them fight. And we're like, don't fight.
Stay down. Stay down.
Shake and make up.
You're both friends.
Yeah. You don't need to do this to prove anything. Anyway, we are having fun pretending to have little shouty voices, but that was a great question by Anakin. Very, very fun. That's it for our questions, but we do have a Power of the Light Side entry. Put out this call to our patrons on Patreon. if you have just a fun, positive moment in your fandom, in your life, walking with Star Wars that you want to share, we ask you to submit them. We have several, so we'll be sharing some over the next few weeks. And like I said, if you're a patron and you want to do that, just check for the posts. The one today comes from Brian Babcock. Brian says, "Hey, Force Center friends, Star Wars is a very important part of my life. I often think back to growing up with the original trilogy. I was born in 1986, so thankfully I didn't have to wait 3 torturous years between the release of each original film. I only had to wait 3 torturous years between the prequels. However, I was so young, 3 years old, when my parents showed me the original trilogy, I unfortunately have absolutely no recollection of my first viewing. I feel I've always known that Vader was Luke's father, that Luke and Leia are siblings, etc. I never felt I got to experience that magic of seeing the galaxy far, far away for the first time. Though this slight disappointment was offset by the fact that it's something I was able to bond with both my parents over. They divorced when I was 6, but my mom was already down for a THX digitally enhanced VHS marathon on a rainy day weekend. My dad, on the other hand, put up with me watching the original trilogy almost on repeat and took me to see each special edition movie at the theater 4 times. When the Power of the Force 2 figures came out in 1995, it became a weekend ritual that he and I would go on the hunt for new ones. He seemed to enjoy buying them for me almost as much as I enjoyed getting them. Even to this day, I'm now 36 years old, and my dad will still find Star Wars figures at the shop and buy some for me. I still make it a point of tradition to go see each new theatrically released Star Wars film at the theater with my dad at least once and watch the premiere of any new live-action Star Wars show with him. It's a tradition I hope to carry on for many, many more years to come. Thanks for taking the time to read my story, and may the Force be with you." That is a great story, Brian. Ken, do you have any thoughts or reactions?
My first thought and reaction is, you know, so Brian is 10 years younger than me, which means I was 20 around that time, 1920, buying the Power of the Force figures, which means I was probably reaching over a kid like Brian to steal the figures. Brian, I apologize if that was you and that Toys R Us in Santa Maria, California. I feel bad. That was the first time I experienced that where I'm still a kid, but like, I was like,
yeah,
in the toy aisle fighting 7-year-olds for and so I get it. So first of all, I apologize. But second, no, this is great. And Star Wars beat a generational tale and generational saga. It shows up all the time, and I love hearing this. Even during what might have been a tough time, parents separating, divorce, but you have Star Wars to get you through it. And I love the idea of like, hey, you know, my dad wasn't necessarily like, yeah, let's do it, but he didn't back away. He took you to see the films. He's still connected with you over it. That's powerful stuff there. I don't necessarily, I have a different relationship with Star Wars than my parents. They still kind of are. They get what I do, but they don't want to understand what I do. And that's fine. That's fine. So they didn't really sit down and watch Star Wars with me. It was just that silly thing I watched. And so I love hearing these kind of stories where it's experienced in a bit of a different way. And I have no regrets and everything's great. My parents are very supportive of what I do now. But like, you know, it wasn't that. It was me. I had me. And I felt that was it. And I didn't realize so many other fans were out there, and I connect with them a little bit later in life. So, Brian, I love your tale. It's a great tale.
Yeah, it is a really great example of how this saga can so connect to our lives in lots of different ways. But I think a lot of us have some version of a parent story, right? Of sometimes parents introduce kids to it, like it sounds like maybe happened with Brian, but then have that sort of like the parents kind of like Star Wars, but it's more almost the bond with the child, you know. And I have a great history of that with my dad, who, you know, so supported how much I loved these movies and, you know, got me action figures. And he doesn't entirely understand. He gets that I do a podcast about Star Wars and it's, you know, that it's going well. And he asked me about it. But then sometimes he'll earlier this year, he's like, "So I hear that that Ewan McGregor is doing another Star Wars. Did you know about that?" And it's like, it's I've done 87 hours of recording about it, Dad. I do know. I do. And like, he means it so nice, you know, but it's just a different world than the world he grew up in, you know.
I love that. This is totally off, but it's totally unrelated, but I feel the same energy. I'll still get texts from friends on like a Friday. "Hey, have you watched this week's Andor? Like, do you not know what I do? Do you not understand that I have to watch at 12:01 that night? I have to watch it." So it's fascinating.
Yeah. Okay. And I really love what Brian is saying about continuing this tradition with his dad and still seeing them in the theater with the dad, with his dad. And as I've mentioned before, I really think my dad would like Mandalorian. He loves Westerns and he loved Han Solo and that sort of the roguish, the bounty hunter side of Star Wars. And I so want to sit down and with him and see what he makes of Mandalorian. And I'm hoping to make that happen sooner rather than later. Thanks for the inspiration, Brian.
Love that. Love that.
Absolutely great stuff. Thank you all for the questions. Thanks for the Power of the Light Side submission. If you want to submit questions, we do also have a post going on our Patreon. And for right now, we have questions on our Twitter pinned to our page as a request for questions on Twitter. Who knows what's happening with social media? We're in a tumultuous time, so who knows? Maybe we will be telling you to ask us questions on Ranker, and who knows? Who knows what it's going to be next? We used to cake each other on peach, whatever that means. We did that for 5 minutes, so who knows? We'll be asking you for questions, but right now it is still on Twitter. Ken, you want to let people know where they can find us?
Peach lasted a weekend. It literally was a weekend.
I think actual peaches last longer than peach did.
I was in New Orleans for an event on a Friday night. I signed up, and by Monday, no one was using it. Crazy. Yes, here's where you can find us. We are on Twitter, For Center Pod. We are on Hive. By the time you hear this, I might have spruced it up there if I can remember how to log back in. You can find us there at Force Center, no pod on that one. Our Instagram and YouTube as well. Thanks for those who watch the live Q&A, and we got more coming and more YouTube related content coming your way very soon. Subscribe over there. Also, we've been asking for that goal to get to 6,500 subscribers at the time of this recording. We're up 50, about 100 away for our goal. So subscribe over there and help us reach our YouTube dreams. Podcast available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Just search or find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Find me at Catnapsock across all social media platforms, including Hive. And you can go to my website for more information on things I do. Catnapsock.com is the spot for that. I'll be selling personalized copies of my book, Why We Love Star Wars, via the website. So go to that website. My shop will take you there. All right, Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you could find me on all the social media. Hive, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. Do follow me there. It is great to connect with everyone. You can check out my YouTube page. Just go to YouTube and search for Joseph Scrimshaw for more short films and comedy coming soon. And yeah, that is it. So for myself, for Ken, for Kwaki and Eight Lizards, this has been Cues of the Force.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.